This is KDNK News from Carbondale. President Donald Trump says a revved-up economy will be sufficient to pay for the huge jump he's proposing in military spending. Eric Galatis reports.
During his address to Congress on Tuesday, President Donald Trump called for $1 trillion in public and private investment to rebuild the nation's roads and bridges, noting the $6 trillion spent fighting wars in the Middle East could have easily rebuilt America two or three times over. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich says Trump's plan to lure investors with tax credits would be a huge giveaway for wealthy developers, but agrees that there's a big need for more and better infrastructure for the public.
And the only way we get that is if corporations and the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes. We'd be turning over public roads and bridges to private corporations who will charge us expensive tolls.
He says tolls would likely be set by private companies to provide the kinds of returns expected by Wall Street. And he notes infrastructure in rural areas might not get fixed at all if the project isn't seen as profitable. Some Republican leaders, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, are also wary of Trump's plans to finance the effort. Reich says taxpayers could end up footing the majority of the bill under Trump's proposal because for every dollar a developer puts into a project up front due to tax incentives, they'd actually pay only 18 cents, leaving taxpayers to cover the remaining 82 cents.
Rather than taxing the wealthy and then using the money to fix our dangerously outdated roads, bridges, airports, water systems, Trump wants to give rich developers and Wall Street investors tax credits.
He says essentially the public would end up paying twice, first by subsidizing developers and investors with tax dollars, and again by paying tolls and user fees. President Barack Obama's proposal to tap private investors to pay for infrastructure projects was also opposed by Republicans in Congress during his years in office. This is Eric Galatis reporting for KDNK.
A measure to increase Colorado's fine for texting and driving passed a hurdle on the Senate floor Thursday after a short debate. It is expected to go to another vote and then to the House. Spencer Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Currently, if you're pulled over by a state trooper for texting and driving, the fine is $50 and 1 point on your license. Under a new bill, the penalty would increase to $300 and 4 points on your license.
We're going to fine you, and we're going to fine you for putting every single other person's life on the road in danger.
That's Senator Owen Hill, a Colorado Springs Republican. He helped broker a compromise on the Democratic bill. If people text in their cars while waiting in traffic or stopped at a light, it wouldn't be a crime. Others, like Senator Randy Baumgartner, a Republican from Hot Sulphur Springs, raised concerns about the proposed cost of the fine and wondered if texting and driving is the only problem.
I'm not saying that you should text and drive. Maybe we should talk about putting makeup on or eating a sandwich.
The Colorado State Patrol says people are addicted to cell phones and that distracted driving is one of the top causes of accidents and traffic fatalities. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Summit Midstream has run into some problems while digging a natural gas-related pipeline in Battlement Mesa. The work that began in January hit an underground water source and caused two floods. For this week's news brief, KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh talks to blogger Peggy Tibbetts to find out more.
Peggy Tibbetts, you have been covering the story of Summit Midstream's attempts at building a pipeline in Battlement Mesa inside the PUD. And this is turning into quite a mess.
Well, let's go back to January 3rd. That's when Summit Midstream was formally approved by Garfield County to take over the pipeline project in Battlement Mesa. And that's building a pipeline from the B pad to the D pad. Those are the two sites of the two new pads that will be built once the pipeline is completed.
Right.
And on or about January 18th, while workers for Summit Midstream were boring the hole for the pipeline, they hit some sort of underground water source. And then that started a flood of water that flooded the well pad. And, I mean, this was a lot of water. I can't remember the exact figures, but barrels and barrels per hour. Well, they were putting it in tanks, and then they were trucking it out. And then on or about the 25th of January, they got a permit from, you know, Water Quality Control Division of the CDPHE to divert some of that water to the Colorado River. Now, in giving them that permit, WQCD, the Water Quality Control Division, they have to accept the fact that Summit Midstream does their own water testing to make sure there's no contaminants in that water as it's diverted down to the Colorado River. And they assume that the water is not contaminated.
This assumption that A, either the water is not contaminated, or B, that Summit Midstream will actually monitor the amount of water that's being discharged and whether it's contaminated, sort of goes back to something that happened in January, just before the first flood. The COGCC came and inspected this and found some problems.
Topsoil had washed away. They had moved some topsoil into berms, and those berms were failing, and they had pools of water, pretty large pools of water that had collected.
There were unlined pits that were used.
Yeah, they were pools, and they weren't lined.
Right.
When they go in and build a pipeline, they're supposed to, you know, preserve the topsoil. They can, you know, I think they have the option to, like, set it aside, and then they can, you know, replace it. If it's, you know, washed away, how are they supposed to replace it? They just hadn't taken the proper actions, I guess I would call it, to prevent stormwater runoff. So there was a lot of water already on the site and a lot of water running off of it. And this was before they hit the underground water source.
The COGCC, the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, does not regulate the construction of pipelines. And
no.
So this is up to Garfield County to take care of this. Now, this is where another sort of, I don't know if you can call it a controversy, but another little wrinkle shows up in this story.
There was a letter that followed up that inspection from the COGCC to Kirby Wynn on the 27th of January.
And Kirby Wynn is the oil and gas liaison for Garfield County.
The COGCC sent a letter to Kirby Wynn outlining the problems that they found upon their inspection and acknowledging that they didn't have jurisdiction until IRSA takes over those well pad sites to begin operations. But they were notifying Kirby of the problems that they found, and the residents of Balmet Mesa were never told about the letter. They found out about it on the COGCC website, I kid you not.
They sort of stumbled upon this letter.
They stumbled upon it.
So Kirby Wynn is notified by the COGCC in a letter. And in an article by the Post-Independent that came out last week, I believe, it sounds like he just sort of shrugged it off.
Yeah, it does sound that way.
And it also sounds like he may not have told the Independent the truth.
You know, in that letter of January 27th, Kirby had been instructed by the COGCC to contact the Water Quality Control Division so that they could, you know, look at the situation and, you know, assess it the way that they would need to. They wanted to bring in another agency on this. And, you know, there was one article in the paper where he said he didn't contact them or had not contacted them yet. And then there was the next article in the paper that said that he did contact them, but they didn't have enough resources to deal with the issue.
Right.
But then Nathan Moore apparently told the Post-Independent, yeah, well, we have resources to inspect. That's not the issue.
So it sounds like Mr. Wynn is flip-flopping a little bit.
Well, I think what happens in Garfield County too often is the county sides with the industry, you know, and they were so eager to see these projects go through that they look the other way. What's frustrating is that the residents of Balmet Mesa, it's now incumbent upon them to be the watchdogs. They can't live their lives normally. They have to take photographs. They have to monitor the situation because no one else is. It's obvious.
There are some more wrinkles in this story. Last Thursday, there was another flood.
Well, it was the same thing. They were boring in the same place where they've been, you know, boring through and hit another underground water source. I don't know if it's the same one or if it's a different one. Again, they're not being very forthcoming about where this water's coming from and, you know, why they keep hitting it. But they did. They hit another underground water source, and it, again, it was barrels, hundreds of barrels of water. In fact, there was so much water, they couldn't use their permit to divert to the Colorado River because the diversion route could not handle the amount of the overflow.
This is all fresh water, correct?
We assume so.
Okay. We don't know.
It comes from underground.
Okay.
Has it been contaminated after it, you know, reaches above ground and then, you know, flows across the well pad? I don't know.
So the final wrinkle, at least up to this point, according to Bob Arrington, who is a Battlement Mesa and a retired pipeline engineer, and he's the one who's been communicating with the Colorado Public Utilities Commission, and he has introduced an idea into this story that the water that is flooding is also impacting a mudslide area.
Water underground is holding up something, and usually it's the earth. If we've got thousands upon thousands of gallons that are flowing, flooding out of these holes in the ground that Summit has dug, that earth is going to slump. And, in fact, that happened in 2014 with one of WPX's pipelines and caused a gas leak and required a major, it was a mess.
But Bob Arrington is talking about how this could be a possibility, and there's a home on top of the bluffs that are what he says could slide. So it sounds like this whole issue is snowballing, and where do you see it ending?
I don't know. I think that there's perhaps not enough attention to this. There's going to be a meeting on March 8th of the Garfield County Planning Commission. I don't know if it'll come up then. I know that the Battlement Mesa Concerned Citizens Group is trying to schedule meetings with the county, you know, to try and get some of these issues addressed. Yes, there's the possibility of, you know, a home being lost, but there's also all the underground infrastructure. I mean, if you have a piece of land that slumps, any time you start losing, you know, a source of underground water, you know, that land is going to slide. You know, and this is really the danger of drilling in residential areas. There's infrastructure already there. And they're going and, you know, just wholesale digging into the ground and disturbing what is kind of a fragile environment.
Thank you very much, Peggy Tibbetts, author of From the Sticks. This sounds like this story is not over.
They're really in the thick of it.
That does it for this week's News Brief on KDNK. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
Peggy Tibbetts' blog is at FromTheSticks, STYX.wordpress.com.